Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. Now, Eric, instead of talking about the general precious metals market and just how undervalued and unloved these stocks are, because boy, oh boy, they took it on the chin in the last about four, five, six trading days, let's look at a couple stocks that you think are maybe more undervalued compared to the rest of the market. It's getting, I guess, harder and harder to say what the true value should be for some of these stocks, I think, especially for some of the juniors, because quite frankly, well, the market is telling us that ounces in the ground seem to be getting less and less value right now, except if you are one of the standout companies, but even they have really started to correct here. So Eric, any companies that you think are more undervalued than the rest?
Yeah, I mean, everything comes down to risk profile and risk reward. So it's like you can have a high risk stock that's incredibly undervalued, but it's high risk. So it's not a, you know, you wouldn't put 5% of your portfolio in it. But like some of the more de-risked with good risk reward, where I consider they have margin of safety, that they're probably undervalued or close to undervalued based on what they have. And there's probable upside. So they're from this level, they're probably just going to get more and more undervalued if price stays the same and they keep doing the work. And one I think is Caser Gold. I mean, you see these, one of the some of the absolute best exploration stories out there that also have margin of safety, they're being sold right now. I've seen a few companies that are off like 30% in 2 weeks, and many I think take that as a sign that this market is hard. But at the same time, I think that's actually a sign of why this sector is easy. Because let's say a company does something good, have a good drill results, makes a discovery, whatever. That foretells that, okay, there's a good chance there are going to be a lot of good news releases over the next 1, 2, 3 years, for example. And you can buy it sometimes cheaper than before it even happened. So you're not even taking the risk, the long shot of them making a discovery, and you're not, in hindsight, you know, 2, 3 weeks later, not even paying for it. So that's, in my opinion, a risk-free reward, which is great. And I think Caser is kind of such an example. Okay, they haven't had, you know, a new discovery, let's say. They already know they have Caser North and Caser South. They have like 1 million ounces in the ground. Nothing at all has changed for the company. I think they haven't yet closed the private placement. So I think that's kind of perhaps weighing on the stock. But it's like, I mean, some of these top tier stores are getting so cheap that it's you really don't need to be buying crap out there, because everything lately has been going down, even cases like that. Yeah, top tier jurisdiction, they have like infrastructure nearby, they have some permits already, they have a small plant already on site. I mean, it checks so many boxes that almost no junior does, really. And still it goes down 30% for absolutely no reason that I can see. They haven't put out any news at least. So I think it's, yes, this market is terrible, especially psychologically, but in terms of expected future returns, as these top of the line juniors are going down in price, the expected future returns just go exponential. So I've been bullish for a long time, obviously. But as things go cheaper, I just get more and more greedy, because one day we're gonna hit a sentiment high, and when a sentiment high comes, you're gonna see ounces in the ground valued at multiples of what they're valued right now, for the simple reasons that people feel like buying juniors.
Well, Eric, that's a good example of the Caser. We've had Marco on the show before a couple times, and so when you have that margin of safety of having a million plus ounces in the ground and some infrastructure and the mill, like you say, you've got some costs already out of the way, and you've got some intrinsic value there in addition to the drill program that's ongoing to find more ounces. So is that how you like to play it, where you see a company, you know, they were on a pretty good streak there for a while, but the whole sector has sold off. So when you say it's easier, not harder, is that because when the sector sells off across the board, you can scoop up the quality companies that are on sale versus taking a flyer on one that's far riskier? Is that the way you're looking at it?
Yeah, I mean, during these times, sentiment lows, especially the longer this sentiment low goes on, more and more people will throw in the towel, I mean, people will sell just for the simple reason that they've been going down and other people have sold. So I think it's a total smorgasbord of opportunity. Whereas at the highs of 2016 and 2020, et cetera, you had to actually do some work to figure out, okay, most juniors are probably a bit overvalued, actually. So then you have to be a real stock picker in order to try to dampen the, let's say, drawdown as we go into the next sentiment low. But right now in this sentiment low, everything is on sale pretty much. And you don't even need to, you know, find a long shot expiration story to try to get some outsized returns. Because on average, I think the whole sector is going to have outsized returns going forward, because it always happens. Sentiment low, we go into a sentiment high, then we go into a sentiment low, and then a high and a low and a high and a low. So right now, we're definitely at a sentiment low, because you see constant selling for no other reason at all, really, than people feel like selling. And that's obviously a good sign when to buy, because like I said earlier, you have some of these stories that are better than ever, cashed up or about to be cashed up. So risks are probably the lowest they've ever been. But price goes down, and people, I mean, I see some people talk about, you know, what if these juniors go bankrupt? I mean, the junior sector is probably more cashed up than it's been in a long time. So falling share price makes people think that risks are increasing. Risks are not increasing. Risk is overpaying for something that should go down and stay down. Now stuff that shouldn't go down have gone down, and they won't stay down forever.
So a couple points there is that, look, this is always going to be a sentiment-driven market. Most markets are sentiment-driven, so we do need to pay attention to that. And to your point about the sector being the most cashed up it maybe ever has been, I think that was a year, maybe a year and a half ago, that the sector was really cashed up, because recently reading over that Oranic Index, we're seeing some lows being put in terms of financings. Companies are having a bit more trouble raising money, but using Cassiar as an example, underlying baseline value being the 1 million ounces and the infrastructure. Exploration success is hard to predict, but that can provide the blue sky. What are you valuing ounces in the ground then? If you are looking for value, what do you think people should put a number on, a value to ounces in the ground?
I don't really try to do that guessing game even.
But isn't that defining value in some sense?
No, I mean, I think, in one way, yes, but it's like most juniors, even developers, they won't be a mine in like 10 years. And I have no idea what the gold price will be then. So it's like, okay, what I just try to guess is, are they going to increase value? Because obviously, if you have a rising tide in terms of value creation, that's going to help you out a lot, because if you're wrong on what the ounces right now should be valued at, if you're in a mature play or whatever, you're never going to get bailed out. But if you're overestimating the value of a company that has 1 million ounces, but you think there's a probable chance it's going to have 2 or 3 million ounces within, let's say, 3 years, I mean, then you're setting yourself up to not having to be a surgeon in terms of the exact current value versus price, because you think the value is in an uptrend. So that's going to bail out if you're wrong on the price to value at this very moment. And that's why I love probable growth stories, because growth tends to bail out mistakes in terms of if you overpaid. I mean, you could have some of the best growth stories, for example, you could have bought every top, but if you just held out, you were going to get bailed out. But in a trading sardine like Bear Creek Mining, if you buy every top, you go all the way back to the bottom. So then timing becomes a big factor all of a sudden. But the more growth a company has, the less timing you typically need. Because obviously everything can look overvalued in the present moment. I mean, you have in the more broader sector, you have growth companies that are trading for P40 and some won't touch that. But that P40 goes down in hindsight to P, let's say, 15 in like 2 years, for example. So all of a sudden, in hindsight, it actually wasn't cheap because they were creating so much value. That's how I look at exploration stocks. I don't think you should look at the current valuation based on what they have right now. I'm looking at the current price relative to what I think they will have. Because if there's big blue sky and probable success, and they can just keep on drilling for 3 years, I can be off by 50% and might have a double, let's say. I'm trying to stack the odds in my favor. I don't want to need to be a surgeon, etc. So that's why I like those companies. And Casio, for example, I mean, they have both, again, like high-grade episodal gold stuff to drill. They have the bulk stuff in the north to drill. Do I think they're going to find more ounces? Yes. Do I think I need to have an exact value of, which I can't even know, what the current ounces should be valued at today? No. So if I'm right on the growth, I don't need to be that right on the current picture, let's say.
Well, Eric, let's maybe just pick one more that's more on the discovery side, that, you know, where you're not really looking at just the ounces in the ground and the intrinsic value of that paired with the growth. What about one that's a true grassroots discovery where there's nothing underpinning it right now? Are you still taking those kind of risks on drill plays?
Yeah, if it's good enough. Snowline Gold, I think, is a good example. They basically have two discoveries. They've hit 100 gram meter plus holes in two projects on their first season, pretty much. So I think, I mean, if you use the Kennerland study on exploration, early exploration success and what it foretells about the future, that's superb early results, because either they are extremely lucky or it's a robust system. And if those are signs that they have one or two very robust systems, they could have exploration news and drilling success for years to come. So I expect Snowline, at least based on what we know now, my base case is Snowline will grow and grow and grow and grow. And they have nothing that really backs it up. So, but that's one of those, you know, high risk, high reward, let's say, cases where if I hold that stock for 4 years and my base case plays out, let's say I have a five bagger or more. If I'm wrong, maybe I'm down 100%. But if I'm just using an extreme. They have really good assets, so I don't think it would be a case, but just to, you know, show an extreme example. If I'm right on my base case for Snowline, okay, let's say 500% in 3 years, that's going to pay for five other companies that went to zero. If I'm right on two out of five, for example, I'm going to make good back. But most people can't hold it for such a long time because they don't. I mean, everybody wants a 10 bagger, but nobody wants. Everybody has a investing horizon for like 2 weeks, so it doesn't add up. For these companies to play out to get a 10 bagger, you should be able to hold for multiple years, like in Great Bear. Most people will never do that. Great Bear would have paid for 20 other juniors that went to zero if you just held it until that buyout, and if you held it for half the time, you know, it could have paid for 10, but most people don't even let the growth cases play out. But you don't need a lot of growth cases to actually work out to pay for all the other losers. So I think that's, again, impatience and short-term investing. That's the main hazards for most investors, I think. They never allow their winners to even become winners because they sell way too soon, or they sell when these growth cases like now are down 30% for no reason at all. Whereas you should obviously be buying if nothing has changed for the case. The growth trajectory is intact. They are top of the line exploration stories. So they will be, if any exploration company is going to, let's say, find the new mine, it's going to be probably one of the top of the line exploration stories. So why on earth wouldn't you love it to have a 30% discount for no reason at all? Suddenly a five bagger might have become a seven bagger just from someone selling down the stock for 2 weeks. I mean, the mistakes we do at bottoms, they get exponentially expensive.
All right, Eric, we're going to wrap it up here. I hope that does provide some people some confidence, I guess, to buy some of these stocks, or at least understand that there could be some more downside here. I do think it's important to understand and not get too emotional on some of these stocks, because quite frankly, if the market turns against you, which it has, nothing's really safe. So sometimes I think what Chad does is the best is actively trade these stocks and not fall in love with these stories saying one day in 5 years, 4 years, whatever it might be, it will be higher, because quite frankly, you're missing out on a lot elsewhere in the markets, or quite frankly, sitting on cash and not watching your investments go lower. But hey, either way, this sector, it's been tough for the precious metals investor in the stocks, especially just in the last week. Hopefully we get a turn here, but who knows? Who knows when that's going to happen? We are entering the rate hiking cycle from the Fed that we haven't seen in over two decades. So let's see where these stocks go, and let's see just who can actually build some value in their stocks in terms of share price. Eric, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. We'll chat next week. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, guys. And remember, I'm biased. I own shares of these companies, and Cassiar Gold is a sponsor.